whose we are. And in the context of the Hebrew Scriptures, of course, we recognize that those words were written at a time when there were many conflicts. We might serve ourselves well to remember that in that part of the world, there were many different cultures, many different languages, many different peoples, and at that time, we would say many different tribes. This was an era of many people living a very nomadic lifestyle, a very subsistence lifestyle, and people were rubbing elbows with each other all the time. And that especially became the case as the civilization at that time began to grow, and as more and more peoples began to bump into each other through the process of varying armies coming and going across what we now know as the Middle East. And Israel and Palestine were really this little stretch of land where big armies, either from Egypt to the south and west, or from Persia and Greece and Rome to the north, east and northwest, were always marching back and forth. So even prior to those times, people were on the move. And there was lots of opportunity for conflict. Lots. And yet, in the very depths of the tradition lie these words of wisdom that invite a sense of awareness around what it means to live into right relations. So we have this stunning metaphor, this beautiful image in Isaiah of a very opposing creatures lying down together. A child playing over the hole of an asp, which is one of the most poisonous snakes, serpents in North Africa, or the lion and the lamb laying down together. So why do we have these conversations in the 21st century? We could argue that it stretches back many thousands of years and lies at the very heart of our sense of who we are as a people of God. And in fact, the invitation to live into right relations is a message that exists from and before the time of Isaiah, clean on through into New Testament times, through the writings of Paul and the teachings of Jesus. In fact, the New Testament proclaims that Christ came to reconcile all. And so that sense of continuance of living into right relations permeates our tradition. One of the things that I remember being in conversation about with a number of people over the years has been, well, how do I do this and not lose my sense of self? How do I have a conversation with someone from another faith or another tradition and still keep what I believe intact? How do I manage that? So one of the scholars that I really like to draw upon when these conversations are happening around me is actually a Jewish scholar who was writing in the 19th century, and his name is Martin Buber. And perhaps I would say he is one of the more fundamental writers and theologians in the area of interfaith dialogue and conversation, because he, working out of his tradition, came to an awareness that when we have a relationship with someone who is different than we are, the way into that conversation is to have the awareness that there is this I and thou relationship. And in Old English, the thou is often the way that God was addressed, or someone of authority or someone deserving of one's respect. It might also, in other permutations, be like the form vous in French or usted in Spanish, which is the pronoun for you, but with a capital, meaning out of respect. So in Romance languages, the formal voice for thou is understood as I have respect for you. It's not an informal relationship at all. It's one where I come into the relationship with awareness that you might be my elder or my senior or someone that I don't know very well. This is an understanding of thou in a general sense. So Martin Buber, he talked about I, thou as a way to move into the relationship, which is that I somehow have the sense that I am on holy ground before the other. Does that make sense? So we have this holy and purposeful relationship that we invite when we meet someone we don't know very well, the thou. Now, Martin Buber went further to say, when we approach one another with that respect, it creates room then for conversation. And his insight was that when we are in that relationship, it is no longer about me and you. It's more about us together. And the truth rests in between us. That wherever there's conversation, and whenever we invite a respectful dialogue, we understand that both of us have some aspect of wisdom and truth. And there is yet another source of truth which appears right all by itself in the middle of the conversation, in the middle of the space between us. In that respect, with that in mind, the way forward into a conversation that leads to truth and reconciliation can happen because we are approaching one another as if we are on holy ground. And in that, with that in mind, there is less them and us, you and me, but a sense of us being together. And I use the word us in the most inclusive way that I can. What I'm trying to say is that it's no longer a dualistic way of thinking or a dualistic way of seeing the world, where the world is out there and I'm in here, or it's you and it's me. If I operate in that capacity, then the likelihood for the conversation diminishes, because there's a tendency for me to think all about me. And then there's not a lot of room for the other. So that's not what Martin Buber was suggesting. He was actually creating a very open, spacious, respectful way to enter into conversation and therefore lead to truth and reconciliation. The Bible is very clear that the truth will set us free. And that in that process of reconciliation, we find our way together and we move closer and closer to what is right relationship. And the First Nations Indigenous peoples had a very, very deep, abiding respect for all peoples. It allowed them the capacity to offer hospitality, to share wisdom, and to embrace all nations, all relations. And that's about all I feel comfortable saying. Because I want to keep the teachings and wisdom of the First Nations Indigenous peoples in my heart as a very respectful place, where that conversation is invited. One last little thing. The drum that you heard was blessed for our use in this congregation by First Nation elders. So it's not that we just take up the symbol and play it. We're very careful and becoming even more aware how we are in relationship so as not to reappropriate something that is not ours. And we have a long history of doing that, unfortunately. So it's to try and find the way into what is the right relationship, what is the right conversation, what is the right wisdom that leads us on the path of a deeper awareness of truth and a lasting reconciliation between us. So Shannon, who, as she says, has a lovely, natural, and beauteous backdrop to a car that's not working. It's out in the mountains, and she is on her way back home. We are in conversation with Shannon to have her come and deepen the conversation that I've begun with you today. But I want to assure you that we do our very best as a congregation and as those in leadership to make sure that when we speak of being on Treaty 7 ground, it simply helps us remember that we're not the only ones. We share the land and the earth's resources with a people who have a deep, deep respect for what that means. And in that context, I can only think that my awareness and understanding of who I am grows. And that brings me back full circle to what do I lose some of myself in this process of reconciliation? And is there some reason that we need to fear that? And my experience over the years is absolutely not. What happens is that we become much more aware of who we are, much more in tune with what it means to be a community of faith. And when we move deeply into that territory, what happens is that more and more room is created for more and more love, more and more compassion, more and more awareness. And in that, frankly, there is no them or us. We are one. This is the wisdom of the gospel. This is the wisdom of the Hebrew Scriptures, and it is the wisdom of the writings of Paul. And everyone said, Amen.